Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Well, Eric, you wrote an article for the Christian Research Journal. It was volume 42, number 1, titled Offering Pearls to Pigs and Dogs. The verse that you cited, of course, was Matthew 7:6. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. I think the subject matter is absolutely essential because many times when we are sharing the gospel with individuals, naturally some people are more receptive than others. But just because a person may not be totally receptive, what I would call an honest skeptic, does not necessarily mean that Jesus was referring to them when he used expressions like dogs and pigs. So let's talk about that. How would a Christian discern the difference between what I've just said is an honest skeptic and perhaps a person that falls within the categories that Jesus gave in Matthew 7:6?
Well, first of all, before I answer that question, let's just say that pigs and dogs were the lowest of the low when it came to the animal life in Israel. The law was very clear that you were not allowed to eat anything associated with either of the two animals. But we have the story in Luke chapter 15 of the prodigal son that got to the lowest of the low when he had to take care of a herd of pigs, and then later he had to eat the pig's slop. So it was showing that it was as low as you can get. And so we certainly know about the pig, and the prohibition about eating pork of any kind certainly is found in the law. But wild dogs, as much as we love dogs in American culture, dogs were not considered to be clean animals, and Leviticus chapter 11, verses 27 through 28, talked about them being scavengers, and the Jews during Moses' day were instructed to throw the roadkill to the dogs in Exodus chapter 22, and we certainly have dogs licking up Naboth's and Jezebel's blood in 1 Kings chapter 21 and 2 Kings chapter 9, and also Luke chapter 16 with Lazarus and his sores being licked by the dogs, and that was told by Jesus. One other passage in Revelation chapter 22, verse 15, it says, those who practice magic arts as well as the sexually immoral, murderers, and idolaters, they're called dogs there. So we have these examples, Jesus using the pigs and the dogs, you don't want to be associated with this at all.
So basically, when Jesus uses this expression, his Jewish listeners would have understood very clearly what he was talking about. But again, I think it goes back to my question earlier. Okay, we know that to be compared to a pig or to be compared to a dog in an early ancient Jewish culture was certainly to bring out the degradation in such an individual. But when we're talking to, let's say, family members, or we're talking to our neighbor over the fence, I don't think Jesus is referring to people like that unless they do things or say things that would tend to put them in that category. Now, you and I, we've done a lot of street evangelism. We've done a lot of talking to people we don't know. And I've often said, I almost like that far better than talking to someone that I'm close to in a relationship, like let's say a neighbor down the street, because in those kind of situations, you're really walking on eggshells, knowing you have to live near these individuals or at least have a close association with these individuals if it's, say, family members. So you're wanting to be very careful. Whereas in a stranger situation, they don't know you, I don't know them. We can be, I think, much more totally honest with our feelings and probably say things that we may not say in a relationship situation. It's not that I'm saying it gives me the license to be obnoxious or arrogant. Certainly, that's not what I'm saying at all. But again, you're going to probably have more in a stranger evangelism situation, an individual probably be a little bit more caustic with you if they certainly disagree with the message you say. But does that necessarily put them in the category that Jesus is talking about? That's the difficulty, because I see a lot of former Mormons, for instance, talking about experiences on Facebook, let's say, with relatives and how they've tried to share the gospel only to be rebuffed, and sometimes rebuffed quite harshly from those that they love, who you would think would love them in return, except when it comes for this barrier of religion. And it makes me wonder, when I read these stories, how would I discern if that individual that they were talking to falls into this category, or is just someone who would fall into the category that I gave earlier of just an honest skeptic and just doesn't know and is going to ask some questions to want to clarify things in their own mind. How do we do this?
On page 8 of the article that I wrote called Offering Pearls to Pigs and Dogs, that's found in the Christian Research Journal, I write this: to take what Jesus called holy, referring to the pearls, obviously representing the gospel of Christ, and set it before those who are scornful is never encouraged in the Bible. Only those who are agreeable to at least consider the presentation of truth should receive this invitation. And so what you're talking about, Bill, two different types of evangelism. One with strangers, we call the stranger evangelism, people you don't know, we're out at a different event or on the street somehow, and then relatives and friends and people that we might have had multiple conversations, next door neighbors. I think you're right. I think it's much more difficult with the second category of people, the people that are closest to us, that we have regular conversations, because you don't know what you're going to say is going to offend them. Whereas the person on the street, I think it's pretty obvious. And in fact, whenever a Latter-day Saint uses the term spirit of contention, you hear that term when you're sharing with somebody and they say, well, I think there's a spirit of contention. For me, the conversation is over. If you feel that my disagreement with your views, you're the one that came and talked to me, because I don't go up to people. They walk by me, and I'll have, my tactic is holding out books called The Miracle of Forgiveness and offering them out for free. And if somebody wants to come up and talk, that's fine. But once they're antagonistic or they use that spirit of contention, I just don't see any reason why I ought to present something that's so sacred, the holy gospel, and try to present it to someone who just wants to bash me and argue with me. I'm not going to force you to stay there. I'd rather spend my time with others who might be walking past me.
So in other words, when you see someone acting like that, you would, after carefully listening to them, watching their body language and such, you would categorize that individual as someone that Jesus was referring to in Matthew 7:6. In other words, continuing that type of a conversation is not probably going to be very fruitful. So what is the point? But what if you're talking to an individual like that, and maybe there's other people that are listening? Now, I've had situations like that where the individual that I was actually having the conversation with was treating me with a lot of contempt, maybe a lot of mockery, but I knew that there were other people standing around that weren't saying a word, that if I continue this conversation and take the abuse, maybe what I'm saying could have some kind of a positive effect on the individuals that are standing there not saying anything.
This is what is called a tactic, and you are using the situation at hand to present the gospel maybe to others. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because Jesus did say that we're supposed to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And so in that kind of a situation, I think that's possible, where you're not really talking to the person that maybe initiated the conversation with you, but you're talking to the others around. But I think left to itself, if you're just talking to that person and they're being antagonistic and wanting to argue, I don't see any reason why you would want to continue, unless you have another purpose of sharing with those who are around.
Well, I know in my own personal experience, the way I tend to make that kind of a judgment call, whether or not I'm talking to someone who might just be an honest skeptic with some very serious questions and perhaps is very emotional about it, or someone who just wants to burn up my time and just wants to mock and ridicule, is I just want to take it very slowly. And I don't want to make an abrupt decision, unless, of course, they are just over the top. And I have had cases like that. But still, if the Lord has opened an opportunity for me to share the gospel, I want to take every opportunity to do it, and hopefully do it properly and perhaps I'm talking to someone that maybe the Holy Spirit is working on, even though at this point in their life, they might not show that to me. See, I don't know what's on their minds. I'm having to go and make a judgment call based on the appearance, which, as we've talked about many times on this show, Jesus said, don't judge according to the appearance. And I sometimes wonder, Lord, that's all I've got right now is by what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing. So it becomes very difficult sometimes. But I think that we should be very cautious before we do cut off the conversation. I think we should probably take it as far as we can, even if that means we might have to take some abuse. You and I have done that many times, taken a lot of abuse. In fact, we've even received apologies from some of these individuals who have abused us verbally on the streets. Only later on, when the Holy Spirit works on their heart, they realize the sin that they committed and have written us and apologize for that.
Let me give you a verse from Proverbs, actually two verses. Proverbs 9, 7, and 8 says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. And we look at the case of Jesus as well as Paul in their ministry. I mean, when Jesus sent out 72 in Luke chapter 10 to go from village to village, he told them that even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe against you whenever their message was refused. He said the same thing to the 12 apostles in Matthew chapter 10. And he said to shake off the dust from your feet when their message was rejected. We need to understand that for Jesus, he wasn't going to force people to receive his message. If a person was called and if he heard the Spirit, he would follow. If not, then he would not follow. You have a saying, Bill, that I like to use, and it's a great saying, that we are only in sales and that God is in production. And I think sometimes we get that turned around. We think that somehow we're going to force a person to be able to become a Christian, and it can't happen that way. There has to be a willingness on their part to receive the gospel. And if they're not willing to receive it, then I think we need to move on.
Yeah, that little expression, I don't know where I heard that. I heard it years ago. I don't even know who came up with that, but it's so appropriate. And sometimes I think we forget that we are not called to be the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that we are any less responsible to have good arguments. As much as I believe that it's the Holy Spirit who does the convicting, I don't think that that gives us as Christians a license to give sloppy witness. I think we are still called to give as good an argument as we possibly can, and I think God is honored when we do that. But tomorrow, I want to continue looking at this article that you wrote, Offering Pearls to Pigs and Dogs, found in the Christian Research Journal, Volume 42, Number 1.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Did you know that this year marks the 40th anniversary of Mormonism Research Ministry? All of us at MRM want to thank those of you who have faithfully supported our efforts to educate the body of Christ about the differences between Mormonism and Christianity, as well as sharing God's grace with the Mormon people. If you would like to give a special anniversary gift to further our efforts here at MRM, simply click the donate button on our homepage at mrm.org. Your support, as always, is greatly appreciated.